Hello and welcome to the I Hear Design podcast, your source for interior design and architecture news, interviews, and opinions. I'm Robert Yeminen, your host for the show and chief content director for Interiors and Sources. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. And if you're a repeat offender, thanks for coming back and supporting the podcast. We really value your time and hope you're enjoying the content we're producing. And we invite you to share your ideas for new episodes with us by dropping us a line. The quickest and easiest way to do that is to just message us on Instagram. Our handle is at INDSDesign, all spelled out. In today's episode, I had a chance to catch up with Robbie Isaac, VP of Commercial Design at Mannington Commercial, about his journey into the world of design and manufacturing. I've always been fascinated by how product designers translate inspiration into unique mediums like carpet, and Robbie is no stranger to that process. In our conversation, he talks about what informs his design thinking and guides the design process for the company's newest introductions, the role of technology in that process, including how AI can be leveraged as a design tool, the incredible work Mannington is doing around sustainability and purpose-driven design, and a whole lot more. We cover a lot of ground here, so let's dive right in. Well, hi, Robbie. Thanks for being on the podcast. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good, Robert. It's great to be on the phone with you. This is It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. Good to have you on. I think one of the last times we got together was to film a portion of a really cool VR video experience touring Mannington's Design Center in Atlanta a few years ago, maybe even part of the pandemic, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. Yeah, I was glad to have you there and talk about the technology, but also the space that we have in Atlanta. You know, it's just a beautiful space. It was designed by the Corgan Studio in Dallas and something that we're really proud of. We use it as much as we can.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was a really cool experience and working with the Corgan Media Lab team as well. And it just really kind of gave people a chance to experience the space without having to be there physically, which is cool. And the technology is definitely something we want to talk about today. It'll be part of our conversation, which we'll get into shortly. But so for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do at Mannington Commercial?
Sure, yes. So my name is Robbie. I've been with Mannington Commercial for 13 years. My role here is as Vice President of Commercial Design, and I'm based in Georgia. And the role that I have involves working on creative development with a talented group of product designers. We work on flooring that runs from design for carpet, hard surface items like LVT, sheet goods, rubber, and we've just gotten into rugs recently. So a lot of different solutions for the floor. We're responsible for both the aesthetic side as well as working closely with manufacturing and R&D on the construction or technical side as well.
Yeah. Definitely. Very cool. So how did you find your way into the world of design, and by the way, and sort of what would you say informs your design thinking today?
It started in high school. I was, you know, a kid that liked drawing. I was always interested in, you know, doing things creatively, or doing creative things, I should say. And I remember being in an art class in high school, and the teacher was telling us about a program in Philadelphia, where I grew up, about this apprenticeship program for inner city students. And at the time, I didn't really know what being an apprentice meant. I also didn't know what the studio environment was like. All I knew was that I liked to draw. So I took the jump to do an interview with this art studio, which ended up being literally life-changing. The art studio is a place called the Fabric Workshop and Museum, and they silk screen printed onto fabric, and then they use that fabric to do art installations. And most of the time, the work was done in collaboration with contemporary artists. And so I not only learned about the art of silk screen printing and the technology behind that of this, you know, age old art, but also understood the world of contemporary art. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be a 3-month program, summer program for high school students. You graduate and go on your merry way. But I liked it so much that I was able to stay around for 6 years. I worked during college. I was a studio assistant. I gave museum tours and all that stuff. So just kind of immersed myself into that. Well, while I was there, I started college as a biology major. was really disappointed or not satisfied with that. And the people that I was working with, a bunch of really wonderful artists, said that I should look into the textile program that happened to be at a school about 15 minutes from my house. So I went and did the tour and switched my major and became a textile design student. And that led me into the world of flooring. And then the rest is history.
Right. How long? When did you connect with Mannington? Like how long have you been there now?
I've been here 13 years. After school, I went and worked at another carpet mill on the West Coast and then moved to Georgia, to the Georgia area, and then came to Mannington about 13 years ago.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, and so I guess kind of reiterating maybe the second part of that question, what would you say sort of informs your design thinking these days? I mean, what are you inspired by, I guess, or, you know, what do you look to when you're sort of developing a new product line?
Yeah, in terms of what informs design for me, that experience at that fabric workshop and museum was really pivotal for me. It taught me to think about design or art differently. Because contemporary art was so foreign to me and the subject material was very abstract, it forced me to question or think about it deeply. I was really, really intrigued by the why behind the art. And so whether it was in work for school or creative work personally, or even now for work for Mannington Commercial, it always begins with the why. And I have this sort of deep-seated desire to not only answer those questions, but to communicate that effectively to those that may not be close to the process. So, and what I mean by that is we may be working on a creative idea internally that we all get and we kind of geek out over. You know, we love those nuances, but when it gets to the customer, they may not be as interested or might be way too abstract. So we need to distill it down to a way that's easy to understand. So that experience back when I was a young guy really informed how I, you know, moved through the creative process. And I tried to share that with the team.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it's interesting because I think still one of my favorite or more memorable experiences in the design world as far as just doing some events was something that Mannington hosted years ago called Design Local, and having that group of designers just kind of come into a city and armed with cameras and running around and getting, you know, just taking photos and getting inspiration and then bringing all those back and then watching that process of your team distilling that inspiration into what ended up being the final product was just so fascinating to me. You know, how you translate from one medium to another, you know, from photography to, you know, to the flooring product. And so, yeah, that was just something that was really cool that I remember seeing and just kind of looking at like kind of bigger picture, I guess, trends. And that sort of leads me to my next question. You know, as we're recording this episode, the end of the year is coming up really quickly and it seems everybody's always looking, you know, for what's coming in the year ahead. It seems to be just kind of top of mind. What trends do you think we're going to see heading into next year or continue to see that have been happening in the world of design?
Yeah, one thing that we continue to hear about, whether it be it like editorials that we're reading or talking to customers or even interacting with our salespeople that are, you know, on the streets talking to customers and clients, is this idea of building spaces or creating spaces of comfort. And comfort doesn't necessarily mean, you know, fuzzy slippers and, you know, pillows and stuff like that. But what it means is where you feel safe and you feel the need to be there and where you can still be as productive as, you know, you were during 2020 when you were working from home behind a screen. You had the mix of being comfortable and effective back then. So why wouldn't we want that now? Right. And how does that translate into spaces, right? Whether it's flexible workspace or hybrid work models. But in terms of workplace, you know, what is going to bring people back into that space and make them feel like they want to be there? Or in a hospital environment, you know, we went through so many thoughts through the pandemic on wellness and safety. You know, what does that look like going forward? And even in educational environments, you know, or students in higher ed learning more effectively and how are educators teaching more effectively. So I think it all boils down to making sure that while you're in that space, that you're able to reach your maximum potential. And that really relates to your comfort level in that space. Yeah, so we're kind of keeping an eye on what does that mean? How do each of those segments interpret comfort? You know, comfort is a big buzzword, and we're trying to really dive into what does that mean in terms of that whole experience, or and then translates down into the material use for those spaces.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've been hearing that too, as far as, you know, occupant comfort being such a big focus now. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, ties to that wellness conversation too. And you know, you mentioned it being a buzzword. Another big buzzword that I feel like has just really characterized this year, seems to be around AI, you know, artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. As well as some, you know, discussion around experiential design, as it relates to technology and its role in influencing the way we design interiors today. So I have a sort of two-part question for you next. Can you talk a little bit about experiential design as it relates to the work you all do at Mannington specifically? And then you maybe what ways you're leveraging, you know, emerging technologies like AI into your design process?
Okay, yeah. And I'll take that first question and break it down into two parts too. So when I think when I think of experiential design, I see it two ways. One is for the customer or the end user, and the other is for how we interpret that internally. So from a end use perspective, you have occupants in spaces. They're immersing themselves, or they're being immersed into spaces that architects and designers are building. There's a vision there that design firms are building so that the occupant, again, can feel they're most effective. And so we as a company need to be very cognizant of how our products support that vision. Mm-hmm. So we're very aware of the experiential moment or moments once the product's in the space that it needs to be. On the internal side, when I think about experiential design, I think about how we have our designers leave the office, get out of our space, you know, where we find comfort, and go into the world and just explore. Immersing themselves into experiential moments. And this is really important to us because I believe that it helps drive creativity in ways that we wouldn't otherwise know if we hadn't done it. But it also helps in the development of the product, where it's not just another object that's just being put out into space, but there's some real thoughtful, intentional, and almost like care put into these objects because it started from a point of real intentionality. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
And then as the second question in terms of AI, we haven't seen a lot of impact through AI just yet. We are keeping our eyes and minds open, of course. There are certain things that are already on a digital platform that we believe that we can really begin to utilize, maybe speed up processes for customer requirements. But when it comes to the pure creative piece, you know, we haven't jumped there yet. I think there's a lot of value in the human touch in what we do. Most of our product, specifically on the carpet side, there's still a tactile quality to it. Even though we're walking out, there's a tactile quality to it. So we, you know, we believe in this, the human touch that helps develop it. When, you know, our tagline is crafted with purpose at Managing Commercial. Mm. And, you know, this idea of craftsmanship is something that's core to how we operate when it comes to design development. And so AI hasn't reached there yet. You know, maybe we'll get to a point where we run some filters that can do a little bit of the legwork, but I don't think it's going to move it so that all of the development is done artificially.
Yeah, and that's I feel like that's consistent with what I've heard from other designers I've talked to about it, that, you know, it really is going to be a tool more than anything. But I know there's still some trepidation around that, you know, so do you see particular challenges with trying to leverage AI in the design process? Is it going to make life easier, or, you know, is there any sort of validity behind some of these claims that it's going to threaten, you know, the existence of creatives nowadays? You know, we've seen we can do some of the renderings and all that kind of stuff. So what's your take on that?
I'm excited about that part. I think the things that live digitally, you know, be like renderings or, you know, things like room scenes or things that where we're communicating digitally already, there are opportunities to improve the process or speed up the process. I think that's going to be huge for all of us. It might be a time saver and give us time back to do the creative things that, you know, you can't do in an automated manner. And I, you know, I was listening to, I can't remember what it was, might have been a podcast or an Instagram reel, but it talked about this idea of understanding or appreciating art history in the sense that, you know, so much of our lives are taken up by data analysis and looking at quantitative factors of success. But there's this desire to appreciate beauty, and, you know, the best way to produce that beauty that we all respond to right now could easily be lost if we don't put the human factor into it. So I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. I think people are so craving handcrafted things, you know, and well thought out creative processes. I think, you know, there's so much appreciation and all of that, that it's not going to go away anytime soon.
Sure. Yeah. And I think you're right. There is that balance between, you know, the digital realm and what's inspiring there versus that more tactile, the handcrafted that you mentioned earlier, and just to balance those two things out, right? I mean, I think that's such an important thing to keep in mind. But you mentioned earlier that, you know, some of your inspiration, at least initially, came from, you know, your textile classes. Where do you find inspiration these days for new lines? I mean, how do you keep a fresh perspective to ensure that the designs that Mannington puts out are still, you know, relevant, innovative, that sort of thing?
Yes, we're looking everywhere. I think as designers and creative people, we're cursed with observation. You know, we look at things and then we want to process it. And then we want to do something with it. And fortunately, we're in a space, we have the ability to do that, where we can take an idea and play around with that idea and make something out of it. So our designers are always looking. Sometimes it might be as simple as, you know, being out of the studio and being in a space that they haven't experienced before and being captivated by something, or maybe going to a museum and looking at somebody that they might not have looked at. One way we try to encourage all of these things is asking the designers to maybe observe things that they normally wouldn't. And I'll give you an example. So every year we talk about design development for the following year. And for lack of better words, each of the designers have sort of a task or an assignment. And sometimes those assignments are studying a person, an object, or an art movement or something that they aren't familiar with. It gets them out of their comfort zone. It challenges them to think differently. It allows them to bring a different perspective to something that might not be familiar, that they can then share with the rest of the team. And then we go from there. So in addition to that, we are looking at the landscape of everything that's around us. We're trying to understand how design firms are looking at spaces. We're looking at other sort of finishes that are in the space as well, whether it might be textiles or directionally what, you know, woods are being used or other materials. But we're just trying to understand what the spaces are looking like and how we can be players or partners in those spaces.
Yeah, perfect. So as we kind of wind down our conversation here, as a company, I know Mannington has been committed to sustainability and corporate social responsibility for a very long time. Can you talk a little bit more about that and why it's so important for manufacturers and designers alike to, you know, just design with a greater purpose in mind? And what would be next for Mannington in terms of its commitment to, you know, designing responsibly and manufacturing with the environment in mind?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something that we think about quite often. I think wholly as a organization, Mannington, we've been doing things that we believe are the right things to do for quite a long time. Robert, as you know, we're a family-owned company, fifth generation, and so we are able to do things, because of the support and encouragement of the Campbell family. And a couple of years ago, Shane Totten became our head of sustainability on the commercial side, and he's been very active in bringing the big picture into the product world as well. We've been working on HPDs for a really long time. We have EPDs. We have been looking at very closely at how products are manufactured, raw material sources. But some of the big things that he's helped us look at differently are some of the collaborations that we're doing. There's two that come to mind quickly. One is called the Appalachian Carbon Exchange. The acronym is ACE. Mm-hmm. And it's a organization that's based in Chattanooga. And it is a organization or a corporation that is helping us look at, you know, offsets in the carbon footprint arena. And so what we're able to do is support ACE, who is supporting landowners in the Appalachian area, by, you know, reinvesting dollars into family owned and locally owned nonprofit lands that might not have otherwise been protected. Carbon offsets can be purchased anywhere, but what we wanted to do was really focus on places and spaces that Mannington associates and partners work in, live in, play in. So they're all within this sort of southeastern area. And so that's one big thing that we're doing. Another thing that we're doing in terms of or relating to addressing our carbon footprint is looking at products that are in our line already. And they may have been in our line for years and have had a lot of success. We're taking a look at those and trying to figure out how to improve those. So not taking anything away from customers, but elevating the story and the performance of things that really have helped us become successful. One other thing that we're working with is we have a partnership with the Build Reuse Network. And this is where we're looking at circularity of product. You know, once product is out into the market and lives its life, you know, the question is, what happens to it at end of life? And so we're looking at opportunities to take that product with Build Reuse, where they can uninstall and disassemble them and move them to another place where they can be reused. And with that sort of thinking, we are trying to incorporate that idea or mentality into product development so that, you know, we're not just thinking about how to make product, but we're also thinking about what happens to it at the end of life. You know, what, you know, in terms of dematerialization or being able to be picked up more effectively or staying away from things that aren't good for its life on the floor and, you know, once it gets picked up. So there's a big shift in that thinking from sort of the beginning part of product development that we probably didn't have, you know, just a few years ago.
Yeah, definitely. That's such a big piece, you know, that end of life that you mentioned, dematerialization. And it's just so great to hear how manufacturers like Mannington continue to raise the bar in sustainability and help make the world a better and healthier place. But
yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that we all have to do. And, you know, I think that conversation is going to get louder and we're just happy to be part of it and on the front end of it also.
For sure. Yeah. Well, great. Well, Robbie, where can our listeners go to learn more about Mannington and the great work that you all are doing?
Yeah, you can find us on all the social media outlets, but if you go to our website, manningtoncommercial.com, you can see a bunch of new product information, but we've got a lot of great info related to some of the stuff we talked about regarding sustainability, some product stories, and some just great visuals and a good way to stay connected.
Well, great. It's just great catching up with you again and chatting. Thanks for being here and sharing your perspectives with our audience. I really appreciate it.
Robert, I appreciate the time that you gave me. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for our listeners out there, we hope you enjoyed this conversation and that you tell your colleagues about the podcast. Please head over to Mannington's website when you get a chance to check out their latest solutions and sustainability story. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, be well, everyone.